But the resistance is so great here, and coincidence so insisted upon that we'd better have some more instances. Aerolite in a storm at St. Leonard's-on-Sea, England, September 17, 1885. No trace of it found. Annual Register, 1885. Meteorite in a gale, March 1, 1886. Described in the Monthly Weather Review, March 1886. Meteorite in a thunderstorm, off coast of Greece, November 19, 1899. Nature, 61-111. Fall of a meteorite in a storm, July 7, 1883, near Lachine, Quebec, Monthly Weather Review, July 1883, same phenomenon noted in Nature, 28-319, meteorite in a whirlwind, Sweden, September 24, 1883, Nature, 29-15. London Roy. SOC. PROC, 6-276. A triangular cloud that appeared in a storm, December 17, 1852, a red nucleus, about half the apparent diameter of the moon, and a long tail, visible 13 minutes, explosion of the nucleus. Nevertheless, in Science Gossip, NS, 6-65, it is said that, though meteorites have fallen in storms, no connection is supposed to exist between the two phenomena, except by the ignorant peasantry. But some of us peasants have gone through the report of the British Association, 1852. Upon page 239, Dr. Buist, who had never heard of the Super Sargasso Sea, says that, though it is difficult to trace connection between the phenomena, three aerolites had fallen in 5 months, in India, during thunderstorms, in 1851, may have been 1852. For accounts by witnesses, see page 229 of the report. Or we are on our way to account for thunderstones. It seems to me that, very strikingly here, is borne out the general acceptance that ours is only an intermediate existence, in which there is nothing fundamental, or nothing final to take as a positive standard to judge by. Peasants believed in meteorites. Scientists excluded meteorites. Peasants believe in thunderstones. Scientists exclude thunderstones. It is useless to argue that peasants are out in the fields, and that scientists are shut up in laboratories and lecture rooms. We cannot take for a real base that, as to phenomena with which they are more familiar, peasants are more likely to be right than are scientists. A host of biologic and meteorologic fallacies of peasants rises against us. I should say that our existence is like a bridge, except that that comparison is in static terms, but like the Brooklyn Bridge, upon which multitudes of bugs are seeking a fundamental coming to a girder that seems firm and final, but the girder is built upon supports. A support then seems final. But it is built upon underlying structures. Nothing final can be found in all the bridge, because the bridge itself is not a final thing in itself, but is a relationship between Manhattan and Brooklyn. If our existence is a relationship between the positive absolute and the negative absolute, the quest for finality in it is hopeless. Everything in it must be relative, if the whole is not a whole, but is, itself, a relation. In the attitude of acceptance, our pseudo-bases. Cells of an embryo are in the reptilian era of the embryo. Some cells feel stimuli to take on new appearances. If it be of the design of the whole that the next era be mammalian, those cells that turn mammalian will be sustained against resistance, by inertia, of all the rest, and will be relatively right, though not finally right, because they, too, in time will have to give way to characters of other eras of higher development. If we are upon the verge of a new era, in which exclusionism must be overthrown, it will avail thee not to call us baseborn and frozy peasants. In our crude, bucolic way, we now offer an outrage upon common sense that we think will someday be an unquestioned commonplace. That manufactured objects of stone and iron have fallen from the sky. That they have been brought down from a state of suspension, in a region of inertness to this earth's attraction, by atmospheric disturbances. The thunderstone is usually a beautifully polished, wedge-shaped piece of greenstone, says a writer in the Cornhill magazine, 50-517. It isn't, it's likely to be of almost any kind of stone, but we call attention to the skill with which some of them have been made. Of course, this writer says it's all superstition. Otherwise he'd be one of us crude and simple sons of the soil. Conventional damnation is that stone implements, already on the ground in the first place, are found near where lightning was seen to strike, that are supposed by astonished rustics, or by intelligence of a low order, to have fallen in or with lightning. Throughout this book, we class a great deal of science with bad fiction. When is fiction bad, cheap, low? If coincidence is overworked. That's one way of deciding. But with single writers, coincidence seldom is overworked, we find the excess in the subject at large. Such a writer as the one of the Cornhill magazine tells us vaguely of beliefs of peasants, there is no massing of instance after instance after instance. Here ours will be the method of mass formation. Conceivably lightning may strike the ground near where there was a wedge-shaped object in the first place, again and again and again, lightning striking ground near wedge-shaped object in China, lightning striking ground near wedge-shaped object in Scotland, lightning striking ground near wedge-shaped object in Central Africa, coincidence in France, coincidence in Java, coincidence in South America. We grant a great deal but note a tendency to restlessness. Nevertheless, this is the psychotroism of science to all thunderstones said to have fallen luminously. As to greenstone, it is in the island of Jamaica, where the notion is general that axes of a hard greenstone fall from the sky during the rains. Jour Inst. Jamaica, 2-4. Some other time we shall inquire into this localization of objects of a specific material. They are of a stone nowhere else to be found in Jamaica. Notes and Queries, 2-8-24. In my own tendency to exclude, or in the attitude of one peasant or savage who thinks he is not to be classed with other peasants or savages, I am not very much impressed with what natives think. It would be hard to tell why. If the word of a Lord Kelvin carries no more weight, upon scientific subjects, than the word of a Sitting Bull, unless it be in agreement with conventional opinion, I think it must be because savages have bad table manners. However, my snobbishness, in this respect, loosens up somewhat before very widespread belief by savages and peasants. And the notion of thunderstones is as wide as geography itself. The natives of Burma, China, Japan, according to Blinkenberg, Thunder Weapons, p. 100, not, of course, that Blinkenberg accepts one word of it, think that carved stone objects have fallen from the sky, because they think they have seen such objects fall from the sky. Such objects are called thunderbolts in these countries. They are called thunderstones in Moravia, Holland, Belgium, France, Cambodia, Sumatra, and Siberia. They're called storm stones in Lausitz, sky arrows in Slavonia, thunder axes in England and Scotland, lightning stones in Spain and Portugal, sky axes in Greece, lightning flashes in Brazil, thunder teeth in Amboina. The belief is as widespread as is belief in ghosts and witches, which only the superstitious deny today. As to beliefs by North American Indians, Tyler gives a list of references, Primitive Culture, 2-237. As to South American Indians, certain stone hatchets are said to have fallen from the heavens. Jour America Folklore, 17-203. If you, too, revolt against coincidence after coincidence after coincidence, but find our interpretation of thunderstones just a little too strong or rich for digestion, we recommend the explanation of one, Talius, written in 1649. The naturalists say they are generated in the sky by fulgurous exhalation conglobed in a cloud by the circumfused humor. Of course, the paper in the Cornhill magazine was written with no intention of trying really to investigate this subject, but to deride the notion that worked stone objects have ever fallen from the sky. A writer in the Amer. Jour. Sci. 1-21-325, read this paper and thinks it remarkable that any man of ordinary reasoning powers should write a paper to prove that thunderbolts do not exist. I confess that we're a little flattered by that. Over and over. It is scarcely necessary to suggest to the intelligent reader that thunderstones are a myth. We contend that there is a misuse of a word here. We admit that only we are intelligent upon this subject, if by intelligence is meant the inquiry of an equilibrium, and that all other intellection is only mechanical reflex. Of course that intelligence, too, is mechanical, but less orderly and confined, less obviously mechanical, that as an acceptance of ours becomes firmer and firmer established, we pass from the state of intelligence to reflexes in ruts. An odd thing is that intelligence is usually supposed to be creditable. It may be in the sense that it is mental activity trying to find out, but it is confession of ignorance. The bees, the theologians, the dogmatic scientists are the intellectual aristocrats. The rest of us are plebeians, not yet graduated to nirvana, or to the instinctive and suave as differentiated from the intelligent and crude. Blinkenberg gives many instances of the superstition of thunderstones which flourishes only where mentality is in a lamentable state or universally. In Malacca, Sumatra, and Java, natives say that stone axes have often been found under trees that have been struck by lightning. Blinkenberg does not dispute this, but says it is coincidence, that the axes were of course upon the ground in the first place, that the natives jumped to the conclusion that these carved stones had fallen in or with lightning. In Central Africa, it is said that often have wedge-shaped, highly polished objects of stone, described as axes, been found sticking in trees that have been struck by lightning or by what seemed to be lightning. The natives, rather like the unscientific persons of Memphis, Tennessee, when they saw snakes after a storm, jumped to the conclusion that the axes had not always been sticking in the trees. Livingstone, Last Journal, pages 83, 89, 442, 448, says that he had never heard of stone implements used by natives of Africa. A writer in the report of the Smithsonian Institution, 1877-308, says that there are a few